Charlie, we are back.
We are back.
Another bellied up podcast presented by Fleet Farm.
Fleet Farm.
We love it.
I'm so excited to be here at the Harwood Grill and Saloon.
Here in Harwood, North Dakota.
Harwood, North Dakota. Just on the outskirts of Fargo over there. Jeez
Louise. Up north.
Up north a little ways.
Up north to Fargo.
Windier than hell today, yeah. I tell you that right now.
I was walking in. There's a gravel parking lot out there. I got a little sand in my eyes.
Sand in your eyes. Yeah. That'll happen.
I wasn't crying. I just got sand in my eyes, I promise.
Well, you were being a little overly emotional, I thought. But, you know, yeah, we'll call it sand in the eyes. Yeah. Okay.
You know, speaking of emotional... You know what I get emotional about, Charlie?
What's that, Miles?
Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh.
And you want to know why?
Why?
It's one of my favorite holidays of the year.
Why?
I just shed a tear in pure happiness because I get to eat Thanksgiving dinner.
You like food.
I do like food.
Good for you. I enjoy food myself.
Yeah. Well, and for me, it's not so much about the foods that it is the gravy.
Oh, okay. You're a gravy
guy.
Big
gravy guy.
I
just don't get gravy very often. You know what I mean?
Got a confession for you.
Don't
I am
like
not
it?
A gravy guy.
Well, that's because you're skinny.
I typically pass on the gravy. Yeah.
I mean, that adds up.
I just don't have a taste for the gravy. It's not that I have anything against gravy or people who like gravy. I think they're all fine people. It's just me, myself. I was not gifted with the gravy taste buds.
Well, but so then what are you going with on Thanksgiving?
I really like the cranberries a lot.
Okay.
Honestly, I love the turkey. I like a big turkey leg. I'm a dark meat kind of guy.
Okay.
Okay. And then I like stuffing. I'm a big stuffing guy.
Yeah. I mean... You can't go wrong with stuffing.
You can't. I've never had some stuffing where I was like, not good enough.
Now, there's some people out there that don't even put the stuffing in the turkey, correct?
Yeah, it's just a side.
What's the deal with that?
Well, I don't know. Because
it's all about the juices.
There is a juicy thing, although I've had some... I suppose. You know what? I'm talking out of my terrain here because I'm not really... great at making any food unless it's like something that I really fish. Anything I catch or kill, that's really all I know how to cook. And brats.
Well, maybe you gotta go turkey hunting.
Maybe I should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to talk me through, though. Your family comes to you. I know they would never do this because they want to actually enjoy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But they come to you and say, Charlie,
yep.
Char, as I think some
Char.
Of your family calls
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
You know what? We're having Thanksgiving dinner at your house.
Okay. Yeah.
And we want you to cook us up a Thanksgiving turkey. How's it going?
What's your approach? And look, I've even gotten turkeys before in my life hunting, but I have never cooked myself a turkey. Here's what I'd probably do. I'd probably be one of those guys who's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do the deep fried thing.
I was just thinking about that.
Because we have one of them big deep fryers for fish. Because big family, you know, you pop it in there. I'd fill that sucker with oil. I'd put it on my balcony. You know, and I'd do it out there like an idiot. I'd probably do it over the thing. I'd probably burn my house down. I'd be one of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that as a very real possibility with you.
Yeah, 100%. What's your favorite Thanksgiving tradition?
My favorite Thanksgiving tradition is... everything that's popped in my head is too cliche.
I'm not a cliche guy.
I mean, just...
Clearly,
sitting
you are,
watching,
though.
Watching... TV, watching football.
Watching football.
Obviously just very generic. One thing that I like is I have a couple cousins that are very funny. They're even funnier than you.
Really?
To me, at least.
No, that's fantastic.
One of my favorite traditions is just to get a few beers in them and then just let them just go.
I like
and
it.
It's just one joke after another.
I like it.
Every family's got to have one of those, I think. Otherwise, Thanksgiving's kind of boring.
Totally boring. It's nice to have sort of, you know, your little crew that you can make fun of, like your other relatives and BS and talk smack
one
about
uncle or aunt,
football teams.
You know?
Yeah.
We actually used to just make fun of the aunts and uncles as a collective group.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's
at the kids' table. Do you have a kids' table?
Yeah, it's more so not even a kids' table anymore, just a kids' area.
Okay.
And all the kids are like over the age of 25, but.
Right.
Still
the kids' area.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I really like? Thanks for asking me my favorite tradition, by the way.
Sorry.
No, it was kind of you. I like the turkey bowl. I like going out and playing football with your uncles, your aunts, your cousins. Someone always pulls something.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, when I thought I was gonna be a professional football player between the ages of 11 and 12 and
a
half.
As did I. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would always want to show off my amazing football skills, and I find that even now, when I'm playing with these younger kids and everything, I still want to show up.
You got to perform.
I still show up in spikes. I still show up in sweatpants. I'm stretching before the whole deal. I'm getting there early.
Real spikes.
Yeah, I do. Actually, honestly, they're my football spikes from back in the day. And they're more rubber. They're the rubber cleats. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't really do that anymore. We're all a little too round, a little too immobile these days. Mm. The Barron's family clearly is much in better shape than ours.
Well,
but back in the day when I was in college.
Back in the day. Open that yearbook back up, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at the pictures.
Me and my brothers got into an argument on who could run a 40-yard dash faster.
Oh, good.
And so we actually, like three or four Thanksgivings in a row, we ran a 40-yard dash outside, and my family came out, and we like timed it and everything.
Who did the best?
I did, obviously.
Did you? You guys should do that
again.
Would
that happen again? Probably not.
You should do it
again. I'd probably lose to my older brother now.
Oh, really? He's faster than you now?
Yeah, he was always faster, and then he got a little round, and I was still in college playing ball. Mm-hmm. So I think that more people should be instituting a 40-yard dash tradition. Just get it over in 5 seconds.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, maybe I'll bring it back. I'll stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely stretch out, because the last thing we need is for you to pull your pecker area. You know what I mean? Pull the groin.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that what you're calling it?
The pecker area. Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's in the area of your pecker, your groin is.
Well, regardless, hope everyone has a good Thanksgiving this year.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
And whether your traditions are weird or normal, we hope you just have fun.
Yeah, we do.
And hopefully your arguments with your family aren't too bad.
They will be, but just have a couple tippy cows and forget about it, okay?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
All right, should we take some calls?
Let's do it.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey, how are you? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mankato, Minnesota. This is Ann calling.
Ann, welcome to the Belly It Up podcast. How's it going today?
Good. I got the day off of work, so I'm just hanging out at home, getting some stuff done.
Real good, Mankato Ann. I love to hear it. What are you bellying up to talk to with us about?
Well, I have an urgent question for you.
What is it?
Oh my. Well, okay. So I love Quick Trip, right?
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of driving for work, so I'm stopping a lot for gas.
Okay.
And, every time they check out and stuff, then they're saying, we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Well, that's great and all, but, like, what are you supposed to say back to that?
This is a fantastic
question. I'll let you take this one, Charlie. Okay. I think this is your call.
This is my territory.
This is your call.
It.
You take this.
When they say, we'll see you next time.
So repeat the question back. What was the question, Charlie?
So the question from Anne is that...
Yeah.
The question from Anne is that every time she goes to the Quick Trip, they say, see you next time. And then she doesn't know what to say back. Now, Anne, I think what you do is you look them right in the bugs and you say... Oh, yeah. No, I'll see you next time, and you mean it. You look them in the eyes and you say it like you mean it. And then they're going to feel something special inside and you're going to feel something special. And that human connection is going to make sure, ensure that whether or not that was the first time you've been to that Quick Trip where you're just passing through, the world is going to spin in a way that you will indeed see them next time, and you both are going to know, and you're going to take an extra long look at their face, and they're going to take an extra long look at your face, and that way when you do see each other the next time, you will remember and you will know, and then you'll say, see, I told you, and they'll be like, oh yeah, you did.
Wow. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll both look each other in the bugs again and say, well, see you next time in unison.
And it just starts over and over again.
And that's how it goes. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want it to come off as like aggressive, you know, like, yeah, I'll see you next time. Or like,
No. Look, that's the way I would play it. And you're right. It's coming across a little aggressive. Then just say, yeah, for sure. See you next time. Or you say, you could say this. You could be like, okay, real good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that a little bit better. Yeah.
Or the alternative is, okay, real good then. Real good then.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
That's good. Yeah. All right. Or you bet, maybe. You betcha.
You betcha. You betcha.
Now, if you wanted to, you could go over to the Holiday gas station instead. They don't make you say that weird stuff.
Here we go for Miles. He's a Holiday guy. We get it, Miles.
Sorry.
The coffee is subpar, okay? And I'm going to say
that's exactly what I think, Charlie. Their coffee just does not cut it.
Holiday?
Although I can't say I really like Quick Trip coffee either.
And tell you what, Holiday. Holiday's
Quick
got
Trip
the
coffee either though.
Oh, you don't like the Quick Trip coffee either, Chase?
No, like Karuba?
I like Karuba.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
I like it.
Holiday's got the best.
You like
gas station coffee?
I don't know.
No, I do like it.
I'd rather just, you know, stop at Caribou or just like make my own like French press in the morning. And
oh, we got a coffee snob on our hands.
Coffee snob.
We got a Midwest coffee snob.
And the coffee snob.
What are the signs, Miles, that we have a Midwest coffee snob on our hands?
Well, first of all, they actually will turn down coffee.
Turning down coffee. Hey,
I'm a guy. I'll never turn down a cup of coffee, even if it's that crappy hospital stuff.
Yeah, no, coffee's coffee.
I'm even drinking the week old stuff at the Jiffy Lube.
You reheat it, they're not going to know the difference. And now, I'm sorry, Ann, what'd you say? Where do you like to go for your coffee?
Oh, probably the Caribou.
Oh, the Boo. See, that is your first indicator that someone's a coffee snob. And then if you're making it at home,
the word French press doesn't exist to someone who's not a coffee snob.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. You're using
But have you ever had French press, though?
Next thing you're going to play on me is that you like pour over coffee as well.
I don't mind pour over coffee, but I'd rather have my French press though. I have to say,
no, it is good. And look, we're just yanking your chain.
I'm not
here.
Really yanking that.
I know
chains,
it's huh? all good.
I mean, you're definitely a snob, but when it comes to coffee,
yeah, we're not letting you off the hook on the snobbery.
Yeah, but French press is good. I'm not gonna lie to you. You know why it's good though, Ian? Because it's coffee,
right?
Okay, and all coffee is good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you don't put any sugar in it, right?
Yeah, no, black. I'm a black coffee fella.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Unless you want to pour a little tippy cow in there, and then
get a little busy.
Yeah, there you go.
But, I think that sums it up.
That was good advice, though. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ma'am.
We appreciate you calling.
That was good advice by us, Charlie.
Yeah, I think
it
was. Yeah. Coffee's coffee.
And thank you also. I've been listening to your book on Audible.
Oh, nice. The Midwest Survival Guide.
How many hours
that's
is
right.
it? How many hours is it on Audible?
Oh, I don't even know.
It's got to be like 56 hours, correct?
It's a long book. Yeah.
I'm like, I drive so much for work. It's great. I just get in the car and go.
Oh, well, I really appreciate you listening to it. I know it's tough with the charts. That was a dumb thing to put on audio.
Well, I was going
to
actually say, which one do you like? Or when Charlie does his next book, I think he should have just only pictures. There's too many words in his current book.
There are a lot of words.
I am waiting for the hard copy to come in the mail, so I do look forward to that.
What's the hang up on the shipping?
Well, I guess I ordered it, but then I guess it put in the wrong address. It came and UPS shipped it back, and now I'm waiting for it to come back to my place. So,
I think she deserved her own free signed copy, don't you think, Charles?
You do. You know what? you know what? You do it. She can't say her address on this.
No, we'll get. She? Hey, you DM the Belly Up. You DM Belly Up podcast. Charlie will sign a book and send it to you. Make sure it gets in your hands.
I will. You betcha. You just DM us. I'll get you a signed copy. Okay. You give that other copy to, you know, one of your relatives or
you
something.
You could do what Christmas. I do and just put it in the bathroom so people can look at the photos on the when they're on the pot.
Yeah. That Miles was doing that this morning.
I was.
Did you order it?
I do. I was going to say I do have one a little bit of beef with the book though.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is going to,
yes.
I don't know if this is going to get me not a signed copy if I say this, but
sure. Let me know.
Okay. I just think maybe you need someone from Minnesota to, you know, proofread the book.
What did I screw up about Minnesota?
It's got
Minnesota?
A very Wisconsin slant to it is what she's saying.
It did. I love everything about it so far. The only thing I'll say is at the beginning, I think it was, you said something about like Chicago, like how we refer to it as like the city or something. And I've never heard anyone in Minnesota do that. And in Minnesota, it's all about the cities.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Yeah.
The city.
The Twin Cities is where it's at. We don't really care about Chicago here in Minnesota.
Okay. Well, here's the deal, man. I think you just got yourself a job as his next editor on his book.
That's, you know, it could easily happen
you
there.
You just send it over and I will proofread as
she sends it back and there's just red marker on everything.
And then just skull written over the top.
I do hear you have a Minnesotan on your staff there, Miles, right, Sarah?
Oh, yeah.
So
yep.
Probably do the job too. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hey,
she's a good one.
Charlie, we'll get you educated.
All right, I'm going to learn from you, Ann, okay? Mankato Ann's going to teach me how it's done, and I'll send you that signed copy, you bet your ass. Hey, by the way, did you purchase it off the Manitowoc Minute website, ManitowocMinute.com?
I did.
You did?
I did, yeah.
And they got the address wrong, huh?
No. It was my bad.
Oh, it was your bad. Okay.
It was my bad. It was like I auto-filled the address and it like auto-filled the wrong, like an old address.
Oh, I see.
And then I sent an email right away saying like, oh, it's the wrong address. Like, my bad. Like, here's the right address. And then it had already gotten shipped.
I see.
And so then I tried to like, it was my fault. So,
okay. It was your bad. Well, we'll still send you a signed one for calling in here today. I really appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for the advice. I'm always wondering, what do I do?
And I think we started a good trend here today. I think it's on this podcast, call in for some advice, call in for a buy, sell, or trade, or call in to put critiques on Charlie's book. I think we need to add that little category.
Oh, God.
Every critique book you give for all our listeners.
No,
but listen, Ann, for every critique you give of my book, you will get a free piece of merchandise off of youbetcha.com. In fact, three pieces of merch. So you get on there, you pick out what you want.
Hey, at least it'll show up the first time they send it.
She said it was her fault.
It was totally my fault. And the customer service has been excellent. So
they are great.
Everyone's responded to my emails great. So
real good. Yeah. Well, Ann, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, well, thank you. Right. I've been looking forward to this call. So
hey,
thank
you.
You
know what? We'll see you next time.
Ann, we will see you next time. Okay.
You betcha. Can I just add one more thing?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Last thing. Okay. Do you guys know the radio show, it used to be on, I think, like NPR called Car Talk.
Yeah, Car Talk. It's a great show.
I think you guys are like the Midwest version of Car Talk.
Oh, wow. The Midwest Car Talk. That's a huge compliment. Did you listen to Car Talk, Miles?
Not much. No.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. I can't find it anywhere. And I should probably like see if they have like recorded CDs or something of it. But
I bet you they do. And it was very informative as well. And that's what we try to do here on the Bellied Up Pod.
Exactly.
We don't know much about I can tell you a little bit about cars from the very little I know. I can tell you I changed the oil. That's it. But we try to be informative on other things, you know, like pull tabs.
Yeah. culture and yeah, exactly.
Well, and then so, we think, anyway. And then we write books about it and get stuff wrong.
Yeah. Wait till Miles writes his book.
I'm not writing a book.
It's just going to be a the book of pull tabs. It's going to be all his spent pull tabs.
Yeah, just every page has just got a pull tab.
Yeah.
It's actually a good idea for. That's a great idea for a book.
Yeah,
well, it's a picture book.
Yeah,
that's Midwest bar culture.
Yeah,
and then on each page you get to pull back to see the photos.
That is pretty cool.
That's a great idea.
That is. Yeah. That'll be expensive to produce, but yeah. I can't wait to see it. And I'll take 10%. And thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you.
This has been great.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.
All right. Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. She ended that call the wrong... We just got done telling her.
We set her up to do the thing back,
well,
right?
Well, to be fair, we did say goodbye twice.
Well, no. So. The first one, I said, we'll see you next time. And she said, you betcha, instead of saying, no, I'll see you next time, which is what you told her to do.
Well, yours made more sense.
You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Yeah. You know, Charlie?
That's how it goes.
But, okay. Here. Plug your book quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get the Midwest Survival Guide, you can go to mandwalkmint.com, order that sucker real quick, or just Google it. Or really the best way to do it is go to your local bookstore. Like we support the local bars, support your local bookstore. Get the Midwest Survival Guide and maybe buy something else there too. Holidays are coming up. Heck of a gift. And if you don't like reading.
It's a great coffee table book.
It's a great coffee table.
It's also a great on the toilet book.
Miles has it in his crapper room right now. So he even told me.
It's the only place I read though.
It's the only place he reads. And by reads, he means looks at the pictures. So ladies and gentlemen, there it is. The Midwest Survival Guide. Check it out now. Do you like that ad read?
That was great.
Yeah.
Hello. Who do we got on the line?
Hey, this is Michael.
Michael. Where are you at, Michael?
I am in Milwaukee.
Oh, it's one of the greatest cities in all the United States. What are you doing in Milwaukee today, Michael?
I am currently at work, second last day of work.
Where are you working?
And I quit this place.
Hell yeah.
I work down at the airport.
Oh, okay. You're done working at the airport. What do you do at the airport?
I always help build airplanes.
Oh, nice. What kind of airplanes are we building? Let's figure out what actually you're doing on these planes.
So I do sheet metal work on cargo airplanes.
Oh, sure.
Well, so Charlie, he's quitting this job.
Yeah, he's quitting.
I know. So he doesn't want to talk about this job.
That's true. What are you quitting to do?
First of all, I want to know if you got a good quitting story. Did you get fed up and just said,
that's good.
You know, what's the real reason why you're quitting?
Yeah, pretty much just got fed up one day, and I was like, you know what? I'm putting in my 2 weeks. I had this great idea. I'm going to, you know, start this, you know, maybe like social media page, does a lot of things around like Bush Lights. You know, I thought, you know, I'd be like the first person to, you know, kind of corner the market on.
Don't do it. You'll be miserable. Trust me. You think the grass is greener, you get on the other side and you just are miserable.
It's just fertilized with bullshit, huh?
Yeah.
So, Michael, in all honesty, what are you doing?
So I'm leaving. I'm going to go be an electrician.
Good man.
Oh, yeah. That's good money.
Yeah,
that's
great money.
That's a good living.
Sweet. So are you doing this because you're thinking more flexible hours, or you just like the electrician work more than the sheet metal work on the cargo planes?
No, I like the sheet metal work, but... just some work that I did when I was in the military, so I'm just putting that all behind me now, and gonna go learn some stuff that I don't really know about.
You are entering this this trade. Have you gone to school for it, or are you just gonna by sheer experience?
No, gonna do an apprenticeship and get into school, and then get my feet wet and hit the ground running.
Good for you.
You know, water and electricity don't mix, so I would not recommend getting your feet wet if you're going to be.
But Bush Lights while doing electrician work.
I don't recommend that.
Two things we don't recommend.
You know, I used to have an uncle. He did that one time. So you don't want
to
do that.
Used to have an uncle.
Yeah. All right. Hey, what you called in for some advice. Can we give you any advice?
It was more or less just wanted to get your guys' opinion. More or less, what kind of what's your like kind of biggest pet peeve? So for instance, I used to live down in North Carolina, you know, down in North Carolina on the coast. A lot of people down there where the, you know, the salt life stuff,
yeah.
You know, you kind of, you see that. My biggest pet peeve is when I'm driving on the freeway somewhere and I'm behind a car with a salt life sticker and a Wisconsin license plate.
Well, at least it's a Wisconsin license plate and not a North Dakota license plate.
No, well, that's because when you guys
got a shoreline.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It may not be saltwater, but at least you got a shoreline.
Well, when North Dakota goes down south, they go to Nebraska. So I think what you're talking about with those fellas, that's someone who goes on vacation maybe one time. They all pile in the van and they get down there to go to Hilton Head if they're spendy, or, you know, they go to one of those boundary islands. I think that's what you're looking at there. Like someone like a salty dog cafe shirt or something.
Oh, yeah.
You see a lot of those because in the Midwest, when we go on vacation, it's usually driving, at least in my family. I'm from a big family, so maybe I'm unique in that.
Well,
but
plane tickets for your family would have been like 10 grand every time you flew.
Yeah, there's no way we're doing that. So we one time took a 15-seater van all the way down to the Gulf Shores. And the AC went out somewhere around Nashville. It was a brutal, smelled like a dirty diaper in an oven. That van, that little traveling pill bottle we were taking. But I think that's what you have. These people go on vacation one time. It's their big vacation. So they're getting these bumper stickers. They put them on their car. Or if they're really spending, they got a house down there and they fly down or whatever.
Well, so the thing is the salt life sticker on the Wisconsin license plate car. It just means that one person is taking the 1 week that they go on vacation to the coast and making that their entire personality.
Making it their identity.
Oh, 100%.
1 week.
They come back wearing the boat shoes. Yep. 5-inch inseam shorts.
Yep.
And the bright color shirt.
Yeah.
Probably don't have a boat.
Maybe pick up a Life is Good shirt, you know, with a little stick figure on it. And there's a stick figure surfing on there. It seems like the salt life and the brand Life is Good kind of go hand in hand.
But I will say this.
100%.
Michael, I will say this. If we're honest with ourselves, there's nothing in Milwaukee we are doing in February, if not living the salt life with all the salt on the roads.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's
he got
pretty accurate. Okay.
You got him, Charlie. You actually, know. You know what?
Well, then
I'd venture to say
the
that there's more.
Life, then.
I'd say that there's more salt in the winter up in Wisconsin than there is on the coast.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't like the salt. I think they got to use sand on the streets as much or do a mix.
As a concrete guy, myself, the salt ruins the top of the concrete.
It ruins the concrete. And I'll say this as a walleye guy, it's not good for the fishing. Like that salt is obvious because that salt goes right into the lakes. And it's not good for the fish. So if you can use sand or any of that on your own driveways, that'll help. But
use a blowtorch on there and just get all the ice off.
Yeah,
a flamethrower.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly. Well, so you just wanted to call to complain about the salt life, folks, in Wisconsin.
He's wondering what our pet peeves are.
Oh, our pet peeves. Yeah, and he start with peeves? His pet. Miles, you go first. What's yours?
I mean, where do I start? You know. I think most of the time beer snobs are my pet peeve. You know, someone that
Ooh, like the IPA guys.
IPA guys, exotic sours, you know, all of those with the fancy beers that taste like you're just drinking a fruit smoothie and then they try and claim it as beer. That's kind of, you know, that's my pet peeve, I'd say.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You remember the old Miller Lite commercials with the man laws? Don't fruit the beer, man law.
That was when was that? I'm
trying to rack my
brain. That was early 2000s.
Dude,
there was like Triple H was in it, and some bull riders.
Beer marketing in the early 2000s, from 2000 to maybe 2007, was the golden era of beer marketing. They had stuff like that. They had the Real Men of Genius ads. You remember those?
Yes.
They had.
Yes.
the Miller Lite commercials where the girls are like ripping each other's clothes off in the fountain and arguing over about the taste.
Yeah, well,
all that stuff. That was the golden age.
No, you know, Miles, the golden age was back in the 50s when all the men would drink their beers and all the women would just, you know, be getting it from them from the fridge. This is sarcasm, by the way. This is sarcasm. The reason
Charlie said it.
No, I did not say that. I did not say that. I said that sarcastically. The whole reason that they switched from that is because, you know, now they're, you know,
we don't have to talk about why they switched. We can just appreciate the golden age of beer marketing and say it's just not the same way anymore.
All right. All complaints can be sent to Miles, the You Betcha guy.
They can get sent to me, but I'm not going to see them. So. Charlie, no. Charlie, what's your pet peeve?
My pet peeve... honestly, my pet peeve, and this might just because I don't have taste buds, you know, is people getting super into one light beer that somehow tastes better than all the other light beers. But I for, and maybe they can taste the difference. Maybe they can, Miles.
So you notice how he couldn't think of his own.
Directing this at both of us.
Yeah, you notice how he couldn't think of his own pet peeve, so he just had to deflect onto us. Charlie, we'll wait until you find your own pet peeve. We'll wait.
Okay. All right. I got another pet peeve. All right. Are you ready? My pet peeve is looking at the Wii ID thing and seeing the date you have to be born by. Oh no! All right. I got a good pet peeve. Forget that.
Are you
that
just
one.
Looking at things around the room? I and was, but that, pet peeve?
I was, but
look, like bring Brick Tamlin on Anchorman. I love Lamp.
I was doing that, but now, now I got one. So you know when you go into the Walgreens, this only happens at Walgreens. I went to Walgreens to buy a case of Red Dog. It's another story altogether. But she asked me. She could have asked me two questions. She could have said, "Are you over 21?" Or are you under 40? And she chose, are you under 40? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I am way closer to 21 than I am to 40.
Wait,
and
then, why is she asking if you're under 40?
Because they have a rule in Walgreens that if you're under 40, you need to be carded. But you can also say, are you over 21? If you're going to card me anyway, why do you got to choose the one with...
That's your pet peeve?
All right, I guess that wasn't
that good.
Because
they're getting
old? I guess that wasn't that good. All right. Well, this was great, guys. I've learned something about myself on this podcast.
You gotta get a pet peeve.
Okay, my pet peeve is sexism in the early 2000s beer advertising. Okay, whoa. That's it. That's my pet peeve right there. All right.
Okay. Well, we found out that Charlie can't appreciate history. You know, that's my pet peeve. Someone who can't appreciate history.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys push me. You push the bear ins. Okay. So
push
there you
the
go.
Bear ins.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I'm so happy for you, though, chasing your passion, getting a new gig because you didn't like your other one. Good for you. Some people would work that job till they died.
What
you know?
Are you most nervous about when you're thinking about changing careers and being an electrician? What's kind of things got you a little nervous?
Oh, easy. Getting electrocuted.
Well, don't get your feet wet, for God's sake.
Yes. Stay away from water, all right? And then that's step number one. Two, you're going to want to wear rubber gloves and boots.
Rubber is your friend.
Yes.
In a lot of scenarios, but especially
this
one.
A great lesson for everyone.
Don't put your hand on me when you say that.
Rubbers are your friend. I mean, rubber is your friend.
Miles, you know, those are not preferred by the Catholic Church.
Sorry,
I'll tell you that right now.
Sorry. Wear a helmet.
So, all right, wear a rubber at all times. Yes. All right, we got that.
He walks up on day one, he's just squeaking, walking in there.
No, it's like the Naked Gun where they're like hugging each other in the full-size condom. You know? That's a great movie. Oh, boy.
You know, I would be more scared of getting made fun of for not knowing shit than getting electrocuted. The construction workers can be pretty ruthless at times, but you know, if they make fun of you, they like you.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I'm going into this with my brother as one of the journeymen at the company.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So
yeah, he's
family
gonna
biz.
You're going to get made fun of quite a bit to start. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I got a feeling that's coming for sure.
Good for you,
but
Michael.
But if you know that going into it, you can just accept it and lean into it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it was good chatting with you. Hopefully, your last couple days at work go good. Don't work too hard. And
don't worry, I will not.
just hope you don't get electrocuted at your next job.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Good luck on that. All right.
Well, thanks for calling in, man.
Yep. Have a good one.
Watch for deer and salty dog stickers.
Tell your folks I said
bye. All right. You too. Bye bye now.
Bye-bye.
Charlie, you think we'd be good electricians?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say I would not be a good electrician.
What would be your downfall?
I'm spacey, man. I'm too... You know what? I'll tell you this. I got a good story. So I used to work in a violin shop. Like, I was like a shop hand, sweep the floors, do some minor woodwork that
I wouldn't even know where to find a violin shop, but can carry on.
Yeah, and this guy is Steve Haas. He's a great dude. He's a bow maker. I mean, this was a guy who took the process of everything
very seriously. Now, you got to clarify.
He made the bows.
In the Midwest.
Yeah.
A bow maker means much something different than a violin
bow maker. Okay, that's what he was. Violin bow maker, but just like a wood guy. You know, he took a lot of care and passion, and he was all about the process. You know, it's all about the process. And I learned a lot from him because I was not a process guy. I was like, let's get this shit done with so I can go have a beer, you know?
Yep.
So I remember I was just vacuuming the shop. I had a shop vac out or something. And the cord was cut. So I was going to splice the cord, you know?
God.
I'm like, I actually cut the cord when I was doing, he had this lawnmower, a plug-in lawnmower for some reason, because he only had one strip or whatever. Same extension cord. I bring it back in, plug it in, and I realize, I cut halfway through. So, and it's not working. The shop vac's not going because the cord's cut. So and then, you know, that's a pretty easy electric move. Yeah. You just pull it back, strip it, and then you put them together. Well, I did that while it was still plugged into the wall.
Holy shit, Charlie. It
shot me back. I fell on my ass. Dude, I got electrocuted hard. And
I was in my crawl space this last spring.
Yeah.
I got the nastiest shock.
From what?
The water heater. I touched something I shouldn't have been touching. Yeah.
Wait, in your crawl space?
Yeah.
What'd you touch on the water heater?
It was the little knob to turn it how hot you want it, right? Because I wanted our baseline to be a little bit hotter.
Yeah.
And I took off a guard that I wasn't supposed to take off. And touched something I shouldn't have touched.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, getting a shock like that.
Yeah.
It hurts, but it's kind of like a nice little thrill.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna lie.
You feel alive.
Like
after
as weird
that.
As it is, I don't mind.
All right, hang on. We got to put a disclaimer right here. Do not try that at home.
Do not do this.
You can die. Okay, if you do die.
You possibly could die.
Yeah.
But if you don't die, you'll know what we're talking about.
Don't encourage that.
Like not the worst. It's okay. Kind of exhilarating. No, yeah. Don't do it.
All right. Yeah. But we get it.
Hire someone to do electrical work.
Yeah.
You can do the rest of the work. Do the plumbing, whatever.
Why'd you have to bring up your autoerotic electrocution on this podcast?
I didn't know, but it was, just the nastiest shock.
Yeah. You don't want to get shocked, folks. Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's keep her moving.
All right, guys. Lots of Thanksgiving talk on this podcast, but we can't forget about Flea Farm. Although Flea Farm is closed on Thanksgiving Day, which is great that all the people that work there get to go celebrate with their family.
Absolutely.
It's a great move by Flea Farm. I think that that's just something special about them as a company. I also try and give my employees Thanksgiving off, but...
Try is the key word in that sense. Try.
They just want people to celebrate with their family and friends and then be back at it. Black Friday, they got deals and steals. Items online at 8 p.m. the night before Thanksgiving. Not to mention the in-store Friday deals with doors opening at 5 a.m.
Holy smokes.
You fall asleep at 6 p.m. because all the turkey. You wake up at 5 a.m. You head to Flea Farm. The first 500 people through the doors will get their collector's plush.
What is a plush?
That's what it says.
Collector's plush.
Wonder what animal it's going to be this year.
Oh.
I think it's a stuffed animal.
Fleet Farm.
We love it. But yeah, what animal do you think it's going to be? I think it might be a giraffe.
I'm just realizing now that a plush is a stuffed animal.
Yes, correct.
I didn't know that. I was today years old when I learned that.
Well, we don't have kids. That's the problem. You know, we probably would know it.
But what animal
do you think it is?
I want a deer.
Okay.
I want a little deer.
That's what I kind of
want
to do.
Yeah, some with the velvety antlers.
Yeah, a little buck.
Yeah.
A little buck would be nice. What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving, Charlie?
What am I thankful for?
Yeah.
Well, since we're in the Fleet Farm ad read, Fleet Farm.
We're thankful. So, guys, you got to hit up Fleet Farm on Black Friday. First 500 people get a stuffed animal. We think it might be a buck. We don't know, though. So head to the Fleet Farm. Black Friday shopping. Can't get much better than that.
Oh, geez. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Now, if you're in charge of dessert on Thanksgiving, pick up a bottle of this Tippy Cow, honest to Pete. Okay? So you can say you helped. You don't have to cook. You just got to show up with a little Tippy Cow, Miles, and be like, geez, well, Louise, there it is.
It works out perfect for my family. My family likes grasshoppers. The Shamrock Mint, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Tastes just like a grasshopper.
And then I actually poured a little chocolate shake in there. Tastes like an Andy's candy.
Chocolate shake one.
Yeah.
Tastes just like a grasshopper.
Yeah.
So Tippy Cow's a great option.
It is. Yeah.
Fill a glass with full of ice. Mix a couple of the chocolate shake, the Shamrock Mint. Much safer.
It's
a much safer holiday experience.
It is much safer, and that is just that's a great point you're bringing up too about the blender.
I think Tippy Cow is a great after dinner drink. We were talking about Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I never even brought up that one of the best traditions is having a nice grasshopper after dinner.
True, and also one of the greatest traditions that we have in my house is watching the Lions lose, because they always play the Cowboys usually or something. Growing up, they would always lose on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
It was always the Lions and the Cowboys, and the Lions would always lose.
There's three things that are promised on Thanksgiving. Your uncle's going to fall asleep in the chair.
Someone's going to pull a groin.
Lions are going to lose.
And someone's going to pull a groin in the turkey bowl.
And the whole family's going to be sipping on some Tippy Cow.
That's true.
And someone's going to pull a groin.
Yeah. That's it. So
there you go,
so, folks.
Guys,
make all your traditions come true with one bottle Tippy Cow. Look for the cow that went ass over tea kettle.
Hello.
Oh, hey, boys. I got in.
Oh, who is this?
This is Nate from Anchorage, Alaska.
Nate from Anchorage, Alaska. A lot of Midwesterners in Alaska.
Yeah, well, you know, that was one of the reasons I was calling.
Oh, well, tell us about it.
Well, belly up to the bar with us. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, been listening to a lot of your podcasts lately and noticed that you guys are looking for some other states to add to the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
I love it.
We just had this conversation yesterday.
We did.
On a previous podcast when this comes out.
Yeah.
About this exact topic. So carry on.
Well, I have a few reasons as to why I think Alaska should be thrown into the hat.
Okay. I love this. Why should Alaska become part of the Midwest? Go.
All right. Well, you boys ever use the back of your hand as a map for Michigan?
Oh, and Wisconsin. Okay. I'll tell you that.
That's a
Wisconsin
touchy subject
as well.
With Barron's here.
Wisconsin as well. Both can be the mitten state. And I'll tell you this. If Michigan really wants to be the mitten state, get rid of the UP. Okay. So now that I said that, yes, I do know about the hand map.
Hey, I'm not a Midwesterner yet, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you're on the right track. All right. So
Charlie's just sensitive.
Yeah.
All right. So pretend you're wearing a watch on your right wrist.
Okay.
Act like you're reading your watch.
It's the state of Alaska.
Stick out your pointer finger and your thumb.
Wow.
You guys are in.
I'm convinced.
You're in. It's done.
I'm not done.
Oh, he's not done.
Here we go. All right. Off to a great start.
I hear you boys like ranch dressing.
Oh, love yeah. it.
You happen to have your phone in front of you there?
Yeah.
Well, if you Wikipedia ranch dressing, you'll see that it was invented in Alaska.
Okay. I'm gonna take your word for it. Charlie's looking it up.
But yep. Look at this. In 1949, Thaler, Nebraska, native Steve Henson. Actually, this is in the Midwest Survival Guide, this whole thing. Yeah, he moved with his wife to the Anchorage, Alaska area, and that's where he did. Yeah, 100%.
All right. Check mark number two. You got another one for us?
Well, I mean, I think it goes without saying we've got the best fishing and hunting you could ask for.
That is true.
I mean, you're in.
You're in. Sold.
You're in.
Yeah.
We're and sold. We are now going to gavel. Alaska, from this day forward, shall be part of the Midwest.
Hear ye.
Hear ye, hear ye. Thank you very much.
Oh, you boys just made my day.
You made our day.
You made our day. I want to show, I'm from North Dakota, so let's do a little hand magic with North Dakota, all right?
Can we not call it hand magic?
Yeah. So you're going to hold your fist up so you can see the back of your hand.
Okay.
And that's it. That's North Dakota right there. So
I love that. That's great.
No, that was, I mean, I'm going to be honest, you're the first caller to come this prepared.
Yeah.
You're very prepared, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, we're going to be calling you for advice after this.
Well, he's now in the Midwest, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, now that I'm, you know, I'm the patron saint of the Alaskan Midwest, I guess, you know.
I love
it. We got to keep it going.
He's just self-proclaiming himself the patron saint. I like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I could keep going, you know. We share a border with Canada.
That's true. Know?
Check. Sure. Another check mark. Yeah. Just keep going. Yeah, just keep going. Them off.
Yeah.
We've got winter for a good, you know, 9-10 months out of the year.
That's true.
Holy yeah.
It kind of sucks sometimes, to be honest with you.
Well, it sucks here too.
It gets a little
sometimes.
Bleak there in the winter when it gets to be a long winter. Come on down south to the up north, and it's a very confusing because we call it up north, but to them it'd be way down south.
Yeah.
Oh, it's way down there.
you got to come visit and get out of the winter once in a while.
Yeah, come on over here. The water's cold.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, our water's cold too.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You got anything else on your mind that you want to talk about today?
Oh, man, that was pretty much it. I've just been kind of weighing heavy on my heart. I've lived here my whole life and just felt like Alaska is just always kind of kicked to the curb. You know, when you look at the map of the United States, they don't put Alaska where it belongs, up on the Northwest. It's always down by like Hawaii or something.
That is true.
It's like they don't even care.
You know, I really like that because that's one of the reasons why I started the You Betcha page, is I felt that no one was celebrating the Midwest. This guy feels like one's celebrating Alaska like they properly should. And you know what? I think once in a while, Charlie, we should throw Alaska a bone.
I think we should throw. Well, we just threw Alaska a bone.
You were actually
a big bone.
Charlie
big
was bone. Actually in Alaska on a fishing trip.
I was in Alaska on a fishing trip, and I tell you what, when you're out there in the middle of the deal going for salmon, and that fog rolls in, and that's terrifying, especially when the captain of the boat tells you, yeah, if this boat falls apart or something, you got 10 minutes to survive before you go into shock. And then I was like, well, what do you do about that? And he was like, well, we got a bodysuit right here. You get in that bodysuit and you'll be okay. I was like, well, how many bodysuits do you have? He goes, just one. And there's six people on the boat. Oh, man, I was freaking out.
So you were ocean fishing then, huh?
I was ocean fishing, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to come up and fish the legendary rivers. And
Yeah, got to fly fish.
Well, next time we're up there, we should take a trip, Charlie.
That'd be a great idea.
Yeah, man, we've got to hook up. I've got family that's got a big old fishing boat. We could go on the ocean. We could go to the rivers.
You do any fly fishing in the rivers up there?
Oh, yeah, that's the only place I like to. Yeah, I like to find a river and just hike for a couple miles back to where there's nobody around, and it's just me and the bears, and I'm just fishing by myself.
Do you go out with a gun in case you see a bear? What I want to talk about this. How do you deal with the bears there?
Bear spray, right?
Yeah, what should everybody know about bears and, like, what kind of bears? And if you see them, if you're out there fishing, what do you do? How do you prepare for them, and what do you do if you see one?
Well, I've lost track of count of how many times I've come across bears while I'm fishing or hiking or biking or whatever. And I think it all just depends on what you're wanting to do. Most people are out
survive.
Here with bear spray. Yeah, no kidding. Most people have bear spray, which works, but, you know, if it doesn't work, you probably wish you had a gun. So I prefer to carry a gun with me when I'm out there.
That's smart. I would do that too.
Yeah. Have you ever had to use a gun on a bear?
Only when I wanted to kill a bear.
Yeah.
Hunt. But yeah. But so let's say you encounter a grizzly out there and it sees you and you see it, what are you doing?
I'll tell you what. The crazy thing is, this has happened to me several times. There's a river up here called the Russian River that's pretty legendary for salmon.
That's why the bears are there.
Yeah. And you hike up the river, and one time I was hiking up and I look up, and no joke, the butt of a brown bear is about 15 yards in front of me.
Wow.
And all you do is just stand there, but they're all they care about is the fish. So they just turn around and look at you, mm-hmm. and then go about their day.
Okay.
Is it acceptable to, at that point when they turn around and stare at you, to pee your pants? Because that might be what I would do.
Fill your waders.
Fifteen yards away, you guys,
you want something crazy?
Yeah.
I got a buddy of mine that's a funeral director.
Oh God.
And every now and then when there's a bear attack and somebody dies, he has to go pick up the body. The first thing that the bear goes for are the butt cheeks and the shoulders.
No.
Oh, geez. God.
I could have gone my whole life without knowing that.
Yeah, seriously.
So only did I pee my pants, the bear has killed me, and he's going to eat my ass and my shoulders. That's the last thing I need when I'm dead.
But now you guys can take it seriously.
Yeah,
we weren't taking it seriously before.
Look, I'm trying to take it seriously right now. So look, I've heard if it's brown, you get down. If it's black, you get back. Okay, is that accurate?
Sure.
Okay, well, you see this brown bear. It looks at you. What if it approaches you? What are you doing?
You're not getting down. At least I'm not.
Well, not in the water, obviously. That doesn't make any sense. So are you backing away, or are you making yourself big? Like, this is kind of what I'm curious about.
You're making yourself known. You're hollering, you know, a little, hey, bear, hey, bear.
Yeah.
Make them know that you're there, and try to make yourself big. And if they start coming towards you, get that gun out and get ready to go.
Got it. Okay. Well,
Or
the bear spray, yeah. He doesn't mess with the bear spray, it sounds like. Well, that's good.
You know, it's not a big deal because, you know, you can, for the most part, you can see him coming, you can hear him coming, so it's rarely a surprise.
Right, and you don't want to surprise them. So when you're walking up that river, are you saying, hey, bear, 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 hey, is that what you're doing? Or only if you see one are you starting to do that?
Yeah, usually only if I see one, unless I'm feeling like singing a song or something.
Okay, got it.
Charlie would be whistling and singing all the way up there just because he's a happy-go-lucky guy. You know? Yeah,
well, that's good.
He'd be barking like a dog.
It's good to do... It is good to not do that voice, but you want a non-threatening one, right? You don't want to go low in your tone. I was up one night, I couldn't sleep, so I was studying a lot of this bear stuff just because I got paranoid. I was like, what if I see one? And that's how I go, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we may have learned something there.
I mean, we're glad to have Alaska here in the Midwest now. We've acquired another state, Charlie.
Yeah.
We're spreading the good word. And honestly, Alaska's got to be one. I mean, we're all about hunting and fishing in the Midwest. They're one of the best hunting and fishing places, you know, in the entire United States. So now we just, I mean, our tourism thing just went through the roof by adding Alaska.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you throwing your hat in the ring. And, you know, maybe Charlie and I someday will get out to Alaska, a little trip.
I think we will. I think we'll come visit you. Go fish the Russian River and see ourselves a brown bear.
Fly fishing.
Yeah. We're going to go with you, too.
Heck yeah. That'd be a good time.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I'm just going to work on running faster than Miles, too, in case that bear does attack.
Okay. Yeah, you don't got to outrun the bear. You just got to outrun Miles.
Yeah, that'd be a good time, boys. Come up and do a show, and we'll go fishing or, you know, hunting or something if we can. But you got to come up in the summer because summer's up here phenomenal.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Good. Well, let's go up there when the bears aren't hibernating. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. And, you know, hopefully fishing and hunting's good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm going to have to spread the word now that we're officially part of the Midwest.
You do it. Because of you, we are.
Yeah. We got to get it out there.
Heck yeah.
We have a whole new identity we got to run with.
Yeah. You're already good at the Midwest goodbye here. That's
Welp, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm going to let them know. I saw a bear the other day. All right. Well, I suppose.
All right, boys.
All right. Talk to you soon now.
See you, man.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
You scared of bears that hard or what, Charlie?
I forget. We do this after.
Just think about how much, just think of the low percentage of getting attacked by a bear.
Yeah, I know. But it happened so much, he brings up the funeral directory story.
I do the same stuff. You're in the woods.
Yeah.
Like it's more so not like a, I'm scared. It's like a, all right, what's my plan?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. And there are a million different scenarios.
And why does everyone seem to have a different plan to encounter a bear?
That's what I'm talking about. Because I know there are some bears you don't want to look threatening for because they will.
I have a note for you guys.
Hey, Tyler. Nice to meet you. Tyler.
Resident bear hunter here.
Okay.
The phrase, you had it close. If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lie down.
Okay.
And if it's white, good night.
Yeah. See a polar bear,
you're dead.
They stalk you, don't they? The polar bears?
They'll kill you. They don't care what you do.
Well, it's because they have to be the most intense about getting food because they live where there's not a lot of food, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they got to be the best hunters.
Yep.
Also, he said brown down is dumb.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's your best chance of survival.
Your best chance. And you cover your neck, right? You cover your neck.
Get into a ball.
And apparently your butt and your shoulder as well, because he'll go for that.
Yeah, you're not going to die from an ass bite. You'll die from a neck bite.
I don't know. If he rips your ass out, that you're going to bleed out.
Some people are into that.
Tyler, this is what I heard. So you cover your neck and then you spread your legs.
Cheeks.
No.
Spread your legs so they can't. It's not. So you get into a ball.
No, you got to protect your organs.
Protect your organs.
Fetal position.
Okay.
Protect your neck and your organs.
Your neck and your organs. So you get into a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because you can limp for help or you can tie your leg off if he rips your leg apart. But right. If your guts are all laying on the ground, you're dead.
You're done. Okay. Good to know.
There you go, guys.
That was a fun lifting way to end this episode.
Yeah, it is. But it's good info. It's good info. And a brown bear, aim for the snout, right? Yeah. Tyler? A black bear. Jeez, black bear.
Get big and scary. Most of the time, they won't actually come at you. But yeah, if they do come at you, hit them in the snout.
Okay. So black bears are soft.
Big and scary. Yep. Brown bears.
Get as big as you can.
Okay. Good deal.
What a fun way to end this episode,
Charlie. Yeah, that's
good.
Well, this might save a life one day. Probably not, but might.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully it saves a life. Well, actually, no. Hopefully no one's life's in danger.
Oh, that's true.
But if your life is in danger, hopefully listen to this episode of the Bellied Up podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know that when it's brown, what was it again?
Get down. Into a ball, protect your neck, protect your organs.
If it's black,
fight back.
We're back. And if it's
white, good night.
White, good night.
Yep. Well, folks, thank you.
If it's white, Drink a Busch Light. You're done for.
That'll be your last meal.
You don't want to die sober. Yeah. You know? So.
All right.
Do you want to? If you had a choice, if to die sober or die intoxicated, which one would you rather have?
I'd probably go out like a party. You know.
I don't know, because it'd be nice to be able to like
experience
have
it.
The last moment of like, I appreciate everything I had in my life and all that.
Yeah.
But it also would suck
to be like
I'm dying.
I suppose it's how you're dying too. Like if I'm going by a bear, I'm gonna want a little hooch to make that hurt less.
Yes.
So anyway, folks,
this is our most uplifting episode of the Bellied Up Podcast. Guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode.
Yeah.
This is always fun for us. And Charlie, you got anything left? Or?
Yeah, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I hope Uncle Frank don't piss you off that much this year.
Yeah. Well, he's gonna. Hey, have another drink and he won't seem so bad.
Unless he has more drinks than you, then he's just going to seem exponentially worse.
And if you're
worse.
A Lions fan, just start mixing drinks because you guys are going to lose on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, sorry. So. Historically speaking, that's true.
Yeah.
So,
but, love you guys.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tip your bartender.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in the next one.
And watch out for bears.